Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And again, Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your Friday. Beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna hanging out. Willie Donick hanging over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe sometimes is on the west side, but usually it's parts unknown on this show. We just never know where he is.
It's been the west side lately, and it's going to be that for a while. So,
oh, here we go. Oh, we got some developing news here.
No, I just, you know, I like my little office here on the west side, so I'm going to just hang out here.
Throwing down the got one. It'll be Bellevue next week. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I've been at Bellevue all this week.
Okay. All right, don't get off you about it. All right. Elijah Campbell back at our Hotel Link Game Studios.
Yeah, I never leave here.
RumbleOn.com. That is very
Yeah, that's his house.
Yeah, Elijah lives there.
He and Marquise and Ian, they have like a cool little three-bedroom apartment with Kobe posters everywhere. It's their little world.
Got a couple Nerf basketball hoops. Like, it's like an eighth-grade sleepover. It's awesome.
There's nothing wrong with that. You're getting away from the haunted house that you really live in.
Yeah, less scary here.
Yeah. Is it, though?
It depends.
I've heard stories.
I have, too. But I've seen nothing yet.
Overnights can play tricks on you, though. I will say that.
That is true. I've yet
to
do
an overnight. Willie knows the old building, the two stops ago. That building was pretty creepy at night. When you're the only person in that building over at the Gaylord Opryland property, it's a little weird there overnight. I didn't do much roaming, Willie. I'm just going to be perfectly honest. I didn't do much roaming around that building. I kind of stayed back there in that corner, that little area we had back there in the corner of that white building that had 3-foot walls. I mean, we were not going to get hurt in that building, that's for sure.
True.
It was tornado proof, but it was kind of creepy overnight.
I don't know if I did much overnight. I did do the Predators Penguins games that were in Japan, and so I think that was the latest I spent in that building.
Oh, I did overnights. And there were some weird noises there at our radio stations, so it kept me on my toes. I don't know what it is. It's just something, like you were saying, it's something about the middle of the night. You just hear things.
A little quieter. You can hear just about everything.
Because you know how in our building that, and most buildings are probably this way, we have key cards, and so it beeps whenever you scan the key card and you open the door. I would hear a beep in the middle of the night and nobody would be there. And that freaked me out. Like, what is this? Who's here? Because there were times that our owner, Bud, he would be coming back from a trip or something at 2 a.m. and he would walk in just to see how everything was going. But I'd hear that beep go off and look around. Nobody's there. And I'd hunker down. I wouldn't know what that was.
Yeah, it's a little weird overnight. All right, let's bring in Nat Harden. He is the Senior Vice President of Tickets. He oversees that whole program involving the Predators. He's been there since day one. He also does a lot of work with youth hockey, and I know one of the families on one of the Junior Preds teams, and they were in their first ever Tier 2 Alliance game out in Bellevue, out in your neck of the woods, and they had quite the weekend going 4-0. I think they're 10-0 on the season, and so they are really, really proud, and they had a heck of a weekend beating up on the likes of Vegas and Carolina and Dallas, so it was really cool. Nat, how you doing?
Doing great. It sounds like the future's bright for us, huh?
Man, I'll tell you what. Those scores were really lopsided. They did an unbelievable job. I'm still trying to learn what all that means, but, you know, what I'm assuming when they're saying first ever Tier 2 Alliance, that's like a big deal. And for them to go marching into that at that level, and I know they're fairly new, to go undefeated, that's pretty cool.
Oh, it's real cool, and it's great when you see local kids, you know, playing against teams from really all over North America and being successful. It just shows how far youth hockey's come in Nashville and in Middle Tennessee. And you know, on that topic, we announced yesterday that through a partnership with the Industry Growth Fund that we're investing $504,000 into girls hockey and growing that over the next several years. So our hope is to have 350 girls sign up for a free 15 to 20 week program where we'll outfit them with all their gear, teach them how to skate and how to play, and start growing girls hockey from grassroots. So I'm really excited about that opportunity.
Wow. That sounds really cool. Wow, that's awesome. And if, by the way, if my info is correct, this team that I'm talking about that I know one of the families, this is all Nashville kids, right? These are all kids from the area, if my information is correct.
Yes, it's all kids from the Middle Tennessee area. And, you know, we made, well, we as an organization, you know, we decided 3 or 4 years ago that through these grassroots programs that I just described, this new girls program we're putting together, that we needed to grow, you know, hockey within Nashville, and there'd be a tiered system. So you come in, you learn to play, you can do that for free, you get your equipment for free, you go through our Ford Ice House League programs there, there's Pred Select through the Ford Ice system, and then if you're talented enough, you can graduate and go try out for the junior Preds, and then that's the team that you're referencing there. So, you know, there's a grassroots effort to teach kids how to play, to bring them up through our system, and to develop them from, you know, age 4 or 5. So we're proud of that. We're proud of the way hockey's growing in this community, and we look forward to a lot of future success.
Nat, we know there's some challenges out there, some questions that still need to be answered as we move forward, just like in all walks of life. But tell people from the Predators' standpoint, ticket options that are out there if people are interested in looking ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, we're scheduled to start January 1, and we're selling season tickets for next year. As you know, every day is fluid, but we're expecting to play a full schedule for next year, and we're selling full and half-season ticket plans, and we have information on our website at NashvillePredators.com. So we're conducting business as normal, and we just got through with the draft and free agency. We're putting the team together. We're preparing for training camp. We're preparing the arena to have fans back in, and we're excited for the upcoming season, and we're focused on it right now. So we are selling tickets, and we're looking forward to a great season.
So, Nat, are there any specifics that you want to throw out there, just creating awareness that, you know, the season is coming up? It's not going to start when it normally does, but as you said, the hope is to get all of the games in there. Or is there any – you guys are always cooking up ideas. Anything you guys have up your sleeve?
Well, yeah. So, you know, our current season ticket holders have been extremely loyal. When this pandemic hit, the first thing that we did was we suspended the renewal deadline for our season ticket holders from last year and canceled their last payment. So they didn't make the last payment from last year. And we let them know that, hey, if you can't come to the 2021 season, we'll hang on to your seats for 21-22. We also allowed them to create customized payment plans. So we've got about 900 accounts that have their customized payment plan. And then last week, we went to our season ticket holders, and we canceled their November payment. So we're just wiping that off the books. And the whole reason behind that is, you know, that our season ticket holders are our greatest partners. We want to make sure that we're taking care of them and communicating well with them every turn. And it seemed like the right thing to do right now, and so we did it. And if you become a season ticket holder, you're going to experience all kinds of different virtual events, whether it's exclusive Zoom calls, or we're working on a hockey Halloween event that will be coming up. That's more of a curbside trick-or-treating that we'll be doing, that our season ticket holders will be able to participate in. And we work really hard to stay engaged with them, and especially now. So there's a lot of great things that you would get by being a season ticket holder if you sign up right now. So it's never too early or never too late to do so. So I encourage anyone to go to NashvillePredators.com and or give us a call on that.
That sounds great. I know everybody's getting creative, getting innovative with how to handle the situation, and I know how hard everybody's working over there. So just to emphasize, Nat, what you're saying, the Halloween thing is a great idea, right? We all are trying to figure out how we're going to do Halloween, how we're doing Thanksgiving. You guys have some great ideas cooked up for Halloween for sure. So that's one incentive. But anybody that wants to check in with you guys, as you mentioned, NashvillePredators.com, and what's the phone? What's the best phone number to call if people either that currently just want to check in that haven't in a while, or new people that just want to get involved?
Yeah, it's 615-770-7800. That'll take you right to us, and give us a call. And we're staffing our office with reps now, so we're back in the office, so we'll be here to answer your call.
Awesome. Nat, great to check in with you as always, and we'll talk to you again down the road. Good luck to the Mississippi State Bulldogs scoring a little bit this week with the offense. Two can win a pitcher's duel for the baseball team, but two's not going to get it done for the football team.
Yeah, it's kind of like the 3-2 game against Auburn years ago. I know you remember that barn burner. So anyway, we'll get it together. I appreciate you bringing that up, Willie.
All right, Nat Harden. Well, you're way ahead of the Commodores at this point. That's for sure. Nat, we'll talk to you again soon. Good stuff.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Nat Harden over at the Predators ticket office. They are working extremely hard to be creative, and they have packages for you. So give them a call or go to NashvillePredators.com. Mark Vandermeer is coming up. He is the Houston Texans play-by-play voice on radio. Great personality. Looking forward to talking to him. That's coming up next on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Thanks, Phil. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5, the game on this Friday morning. Titans-Texans this Sunday. Nissan Stadium, the 1-4 Texans coming off their first win of the year. The 4-0 Titans, a little divisional matchup. And with all that being said, let's learn a little bit more about the opponent this Sunday. The fine play-by-play man for the Texans is Mark Vandermeer. He is on the line with us. Mark, how you doing?
A little divisional matchup? I mean, that's how you're selling this thing?
Yeah.
A little divisional matchup? This is colossal. This is World War IV going down. This is big, gentlemen. Let's rock.
You're saying that was a little bit of an undersell on my part. Okay, that's fine. Look, we're still trying to figure out what the heck happened on Tuesday. Like, you know, I'm not going to pretend like we all saw that coming. So give us the outsider's perspective. We were floored considering the circumstances of what the Titans had gone through over the last two-plus weeks. And for them to come out and do what they did to Buffalo, I mean, what was the reaction in Houston?
I'm sure that you guys have talked about this, but to me, Buffalo looked like the team that had barely practiced and had COVID issues and was away from its facility. I mean, pre-snap penalties galore. You know, when you get a lot of pre-snap penalties in the COVID era with nobody in the stands or very few in the stands, something's wrong. I mean, if it's a habit, and it was a problem in that game. Look, Buffalo's been excellent. I still think they're going to have a very good year. That was a big national stage for them, kind of thrust into it, right? All of a sudden, hey, you're a marquee game on the very traditional night of Tuesday night football, which we all grew up watching together with our fathers, not. But to me, they just weren't ready to play. And the Titans were. They looked very together. I was very surprised about that. The turnovers helped. I mean, a tip ball pick, okay, you got going. And I know the recent history with the Bills hasn't been good for Tennessee, but that night it all came together. And you're right, you can't look at it as, oh, we're world beaters now, going to the Super Bowl, but I think the Titans are very good. I actually think they are a Super Bowl contender.
I realize the Texans were 0-4 when they made the move, but it's not like they were, you know, where they were tiptoeing through the tulips in the first four games. I mean, come on. Chiefs and Ravens and Steelers, Vikings, oh my. And the Vikings, yes, but they're still a very good team. They gagged it away in Seattle. They're a good team. So why was it time to remove Bill O'Brien from all of his duties, in your opinion?
Well, I just think after an off season that was as aggressive as they had with the move of DeAndre Hopkins, and then, you know, their receiver group is very good. I mean, look, DeAndre was unbelievable and is unbelievable, but it's not like they have a slouch group here. When you have Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, Kenny Stills, and Will Fuller, that's strong. I mean, that's as good as a group of four as maybe anybody in the league. But the chemistry wasn't there. And, you know, there's no way Cal McNair makes this move if he feels like it's all hunky-dory and kumbaya in the building. I mean, clearly there were issues in the building, communication issues between coach and team. And Bob McNair's thing when he fired his first two coaches was always, did they lose the team? And that's how he felt with Dom Capers and eventually Gary Kubiak in the disastrous year of 2013. And I think Cal might have felt the same way. Like, he doesn't have the team anymore. And they're not playing for him in the way they should. Because, yes, the schedule was historically brutal early. However, the Texans should have played a lot better. I mean, yeah, you can lose, but you can't lose like that. The way they lost against the Ravens, the way they played opening night against Kansas City, it's unacceptable, especially with all the changes in culture and Bill O'Brien being so proud of that, really, in the offseason. You can't come out like that, and that's why he made the move. And you know, they played better last week, and I hope they play even better this week.
Yeah, Romeo Crennel, I mean, we all know Romeo Crennel. He's been around forever. Seems like an incredibly likable guy. It's probably going to feel just the opposite of what Bill O'Brien, the culture he had, than Romeo Crennel. He seems more like a player's coach. They beat the Jags. Yes, they get a win, but it is the Jags. But it's a win in the NFL. So moving forward, what does Romeo Crennel bring to this bunch that, you know, obviously they're looking to get this win as a jump start to the rest of their season?
All right, so this is not an exact comparison, but I was the voice of the Hurricanes when Butch Davis left and Larry Coker took over, okay? And not that, you know, these are apples to apples here, but you have a very hard-nosed kind of coach in Davis, and then Coker, super nice guy, super positive, and they win the national championship at 0-1. I'm not saying that the Texans are going to go out of the Super Bowl here, but I think that there's sort of this, okay, we got this, coach. We'll play for you. We'll collaborate with the coordinators. We'll get it all done, and we don't need that kind of hard-edged approach of Bill O'Brien necessarily. That's my hope. That's the feel I got when they played against the Jaguars, and I hope it continues because we won't know until we see it. But I think Romeo, being a great communicator, the coordinators are young now. Anthony Weaver, first year as defensive coordinator. Kelly is second year, first year calling plays. But who knows? I mean, look at the way the Titans were put together. Vrabel's such a good leader, and they see, no matter who's coordinating, they seem to get the job done. So I'm hoping it's kind of like that with the Houston Texans right now.
We're talking to Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Houston Texans on the radio. Great personality. Great to catch up with him again. I want to ask you, Mark, because you've seen everything evolve there. The short term is much more interesting and pertinent to Titans fans here, of course, what's going to happen on Sunday. But I'm curious, too, the long view as they look ahead, the leadership and how to, you know, they've traded a lot of draft picks. It's no secret. They've got big decisions to make, but what's your macro view right now of the Texans?
I think it's a very attractive job. I mean, this is a terrific organization. They've been incredibly patient with head coaches over the years, only three in their 18-plus year history. And I know they don't have a first or second round draft choice in 2021, but you got the quarterback and you got the left tackle locked up. You know, so that's something right there. You know, you come into a lot of these jobs, you don't have the quarterback. You might have picks galore, but you don't have the quarterback. Even with Miami, not that that job's going to be open. I think Flores is doing a nice job. But when you look at the situation, are they sure about Tua? You know what I mean? You don't even know with
right.
some of these teams that are in trouble. With the Texans, you know you have the quarterback. You know you have a left tackle. And you take it from there. They still have a lot of picks. They still have 5 picks in the first 5 rounds, but no ones or twos. I think it's an attractive job. Cal McNair has the search firm going. It'll be interesting to see how they shape it. He says GM first. We'll see. Because, you know, a lot of these hot coaches, you know, they want control and they're negotiating and they're, you know, they're the pretty girl and they can, they have a lot of suitors, you know. So I hate to use these analogies in this day and age because, I mean, my gosh, but it's a sports station. So to me, I just think that it's a good job to have and they'll get a really good candidate. Bill O'Brien was the top candidate on the market when they went searching at the end of 2013, beginning of 2014. I think they have a good chance to get the number one guy, whoever that is.
Deshaun Watson is still figuring out ways to be productive. As you mentioned, it looks like the chemistry is building with the wide receivers. They're getting the ball down the field. They need to pick it up in the running game. It's no secret. So what have they worked on this week to try to get more out of David Johnson or others to balance things out?
You know, I like David Johnson. I think he's a really good back. I think they need to run around the edges a little bit more because it's tough inside sometimes. And he's not one of these, you know, he's a big guy. But there was something about Carlos Hyde last year where he was just a meat tenderizer in the middle, right? And then they had Duke Johnson to come in on third downs or obvious passing downs. And I just think the mix worked, and Hyde had over 1,000 yards. And look, they went 10-6 and won the division. And I think they're kind of missing that battering ram element with David Johnson. Not that he can't do it, but it just doesn't seem to be him. The line could play better. I mean, it's an ensemble effort, as we all know, running the football. You guys see it. You know, they just don't have that kind of Derrick Henry back. Well, who does? That's a bad way to put it. I think you'll see a lot more Duke Johnson. To me, the short passing game can be a running game for them, and that's maybe one of the ways they can operate, sort of matriculating the ball down the field. But it's easy for me to say. I really like David Johnson, and I think there's a much higher ceiling for him in this offense. We'll see if they can get there.
We're talking to Mark Vandermeer. He is the play-by-play man for the Houston Texans. And you bring up the passing game. I mean, Will Fuller is somebody that we've all had in our fantasy teams. We've all waited, you know, for him to be the guy that everybody thinks he can. It's just the injuries that have kind of gotten in the way. But through the first 5 games, 332 yards through the air. I mean, he looks like, at least for now, that maybe he's being that guy with Nuke Hopkins gone.
Well, and I think even when, if you look at his numbers in games he played in which he was healthy, right, not just starts, but starts and finishes, right, because Will has had injury issues, it's true, like you pointed out. But when he's been healthy and out there with DeAndre, I mean, Will's been the man. I mean, you could argue the number one man when they were both out there together healthy. So I think Fuller is an incredible player. I mean, the guy's a terrific route runner. He's not just a burner. He can turn on a dime, and he is where he's supposed to be. Now, nobody – people miss Hopkins here because of the hands, and there was a play at the end of the Minnesota game, and Will almost caught it, but the ball touched the ground. It was one of those deals where it touched the ground. He controlled it, but they had to overturn that would-be tying touchdown. I just think he's wonderful. The guy can fly if he stays healthy, along with Cooks. If they're both out there together, it is really tantalizing what they can do as an offense. But it's a big if, you know. Here we are going into this week in a crucial division game. I just think when you have Will in the game plan, the opponents know. I mean, Vrabel knows how dangerous he can be, so you've got to get ready because he can really blow a game open, I mean, or blow a defense open on a particular play. We'll see if he can do it Sunday.
I want to go back to something that you brought up earlier in the interview about just coaching and coaching stability. I mean, we've seen franchises throughout the league that they change. It's a revolving door with head coaches, and while this franchise, you know, is still fairly young, it would appear that Bob McNair, now Cal McNair, they really have made it a point to, they want to have stability. They've had 3 head coaches in their history. So what does that say about them in trying to make it work? And ultimately, when they make changes, they know that they just don't have a choice.
Yeah, look, they gave Bill O'Brien, and I don't know how you guys feel, but any NFL coach who's around for more than 5-6 years who hasn't won a championship, you're wondering, okay, why is he still around? Because people get restless, right? If you do win a championship, it almost buys you another 10 years. I mean, look at the Ravens. John Harbaugh's a terrific coach. We all agree, right? He hasn't won a playoff game since 2014. Not that that makes him terrible or anything, but it shows you the patience level, right? You know, look, Sean Payton down in New Orleans is a terrific coach, right? They won the Super Bowl in 2009. And they, you know, haven't always been successful over the last decade, but they're obviously terrific, and you're not going to get rid of him. He's a great coach. But seriously, if he hadn't won that, would they be okay with their level of performance? Bill O'Brien, you know, until he got fired, was the dean of AFC South coaches, and ESPN named him the AFC South coach of the decade. During his time, all three other teams went to an AFC championship game. He didn't, but he won the division 4 or 5 years. They want to be more like Pittsburgh and have, you know, family-owned business, stability at the coaching position, but it's easier said than done. They didn't have the quarterback until now, the last couple of years, and we'll see where this takes them.
Huge matchup on Sunday. Monster matchup at Nissan Stadium.
There we go.
Titans and Texans. See how just 10, 15 minutes, everything can change? Thank you, Mark. Thanks for the visit.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you on Sunday. Mark Vandermeer. He is the Texans play-by-play voice. And, yeah, noon on Sunday. The 1-4 Texans and the 4-0 Titans. We'll come back and talk about some of that. By the way, Le'Veon Bell did find a home after our show yesterday. We'll tell you about that, and we'll talk about who we expect to be on the field. Also, a conversation with Jay Feely coming up to kick off the second hour. Jay Feely is going to be back in the booth again calling this Titans-Texans team. So we'll talk to Jay, the former kicker, at 11 o'clock. More of Darren Donica Chase next. Good stuff from Mark Vandermeer, the Texans play-by-play voice. Don't forget, this is your place to find your MLB playoffs, presented by Gary Force Acura tonight, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Game 5 NLCS. Can Chase's Bravos punch their ticket into the World Series as they face the Dodgers at 8 p.m. after a big sixth inning last night? And
huge.
I mean a big. Can I just ask a question?
Go ahead.
Who is Bryce Wilson?
No. I know who he is, especially after last night. And by the way, I like him.
Oh, yeah.
I love his parents in the stands. His mom got a lot of camera time last night. We enjoyed that.
Clearly, I will say, in the MLB playoffs, maybe now that they've moved to this bubble situation, the barbers have gone home. There's no barbers anywhere on any of these teams. Kershaw certainly could have used a trim, and Wilson probably too. But what is the stirring thing? What am I missing
mix
here?
It up.
That mix it up.
Yeah, that's their phrase. Instead of the chop on, because they're kind of moving away from the tomahawk chop. The players started this year. They do that bowl stirring, mix it up, and so that's their hashtag, and that's like their team theme.
So they do
trying
this
to mix it
all
up.
Year, every time they get on base. I mean,
yep.
I saw it 400
team's got one.
Times last night.
Every team pretty much has one. If you get a big hit, you give some signal into the dugout. I've seen several teams do one. The mixer bowl is one. Everybody's got their little thing, whatever it means.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing now.
Yeah, so mix it up is the
Well, I thought it was the whole feed me. You know what? We had that looks like mix it up, but it was more – keep feeding me, right? That
right.
was like the trend for a good while. I don't know if we still doing that, the feed me. Now we've got mix it up.
Yep.
I'm just curious. Okay.
Just come up with your own thing. A little team enthusiasm.
Okay.
You want personality, right?
Kids.
You want personality in the game, right? You want emotion?
Okay, so this is Willie, this is what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for you got your first scrimmage, is that right, Darren? Coach Darren?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Okay, in Kid Pitch. I am waiting for him to come in and be like, yeah, they started doing that mixing up thing, or they had some weird dance that I've never heard of, and he's going to – just wait. That's going to come up on the show, that there's going to be something that the kids in Kid Pitch have seen the major league players do, and they're gonna start doing it, and Darren's going to be get-off-my-lawn guy.
Wait a minute. Darren is not the get off my lawn guy. Darren is the progressive, I thought.
I know what you're talking about.
As long as you're not taunting the other team, right? You know, to a degree. Something fun.
Get off my lawn guy never changes. How is that me?
Well, you just sounded like him. You're like, yeah, I don't know about the whole mix it up.
Well, I just simply said I saw it 400 times last night.
Okay.
It's like, golly,
it's the thing they do.
All right. I'd not seen that all year. So that's – I'm just asking. I was just asking – I was looking for an educational answer. Like, what did that mean? What was the deal?
You?
Yeah. I learned that it's mix it up. I didn't know that.
I'm just kidding. You're not get off my lawn guy. I'm just giving you a hard time.
But, I mean, that was an impressive sixth inning. I'll say that.
Oh, it was awesome. The sixth inning – that the bottom of the sixth and the top of the seventh, I mean, range of emotions like no other for a Braves fan, because you go off the high of what they did in the sixth and feeling good, and then some questionable managerial decisions by Brian Snitker in the top of the seventh that, like, are they about to erase this? And the fact that they only gave up the one run and then they got it back at the bottom of that inning was very impressive. So I said in the pregame show that I did, got to get the bats going again, because you got a young pitcher that can get, you know, he's not been in this situation. He can get rattled. He was fantastic. He did exactly what you needed him to do, and the bats took care of him as well. So I feel pretty good about my team right now, but still got to win one more.
It is interesting. Willie, go ahead. Go ahead,
Darren. I was going to say, I've got a prime example to fix this get off my lawn thing with Chase. I'll invite him to come tomorrow and let him come 30 minutes before first pitch and listen to our pump-up music and tell me if I'm get-off-my-lawn guy. Because there's no Sticks in there. There's no Scorpions. There's no AC/DC. There's no Def Leppard. I don't even know half these songs. I did it for the kids. That's what they want to hear.
Okay.
I don't even know these songs.
See, you already got me there, because if it were me, I mean, there would be there'd be a lot of Van Halen. There'd be Sticks.
There's none of that. Right. There's none of that.
You don't even get to mix in one song?
Rockstar. I mean, I don't even know these songs. I mean, I know them now because they're stuck in my head. But these are what the boys want. These are what the kids want.
Good.
I don't even know if you guys know this.
That's good coaching. Creating a fun environment. That's the key to coaching.
I mean, an environment where people feel like they can. Yeah, there
you
go. A little bit of my flavor, but you know, Say So, Rockstar, Sunday Best, Juice World. I don't know this stuff. Come and Go. I don't know this stuff.
I think you should.
Now.
I think you should mix in one or two of your songs, so that you get the funny moment of, you know, everybody's in the groove, they're grooving out to the songs, and then your song comes on, they're like, what? Oh, Coach, come on, man. What? And you say, this is good stuff, man. And then someday they'll be like, you know, Coach used to bring this. He used to play this, and now I appreciate.
I don't think they'll
Coach
do this.
Darren, this is a Coach Darren song. This is good stuff. I didn't appreciate it at first. No, you don't think so?
I don't think so.
I think that would be a funny moment.
Does Maddox appreciate the hair metal?
He is, because it's all around Fortnite and, you know, the YouTube. So they get all this stuff, and then they all like it. So he prefers that. But I will say he has surprised me, because sometimes when I flip, you know, ball on our sister station, 102.9 The Buzz, I expect him to want me to turn away. And there's times I've turned away, and he said, can you go back to that? And I'm like, all right. We're making progress. Okay.
Like
he wanted to hear it. And I'm like, all right. You know, I don't push it. I think I would get a lot of, you know, Willie, I don't think it would be embraced. Maybe it would. I don't know. What do you suggest that I kind of just slide in there somewhere?
I think you go with kind of a mainstream hit. That's got a good rhythm, you know. Don't come out with like long guitar solo or something, or don't come out with kicks,
I mean,
or you know, something from the
blow
Fringes.
My fuse. Don't do
yeah.
Blow my
I mean,
fuse.
Go with like a
Kickstart
well-known.
My Heart would be good. But
no, I'm talking
word.
About the band Kicks. I'm talking about like a fringe hair metal band.
No,
like,
bring
out like a Def Leppard, you know, hit from the '80s that maybe they've heard, and definitely you'll get the parents on your side, right? And they'll go, no, Coach Darren is right. This is a good song. This is good. Because then that's how you open the window. And then someday, you never know, your kids will be playing, all your team is going to be playing the retro hair metal stuff. And you'll create a new revolution.
I'm gonna try it, and I'll report back.
Just start with one song.
I say just go straight to Metallica. Just straight up.
Yeah, see,
Enter Sandman.
I mean, nothing's better than seeing how the water feels and just jumping right in. So, I mean, straight up Master of Puppets. Like, the harder the riff.
The thing. Like, if you go with,
I'm gonna side stare if I do Master of Puppets.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Master of Puppets or, like, the song One. Like, going a little edgy there. Just, you know, start with Enter Sandman.
That's
a baseball. Enter Sandman is a baseball song.
One's
right?
your song,
you can go with
right,
that.
Aaron?
Do what?
One's your song, right?
Sure.
That's your favorite Metallica song, right?
Well, sure. It's one of them, yeah, for sure.
I just remember at the concert, you got real excited when they started playing that one.
Yeah.
I'll give you a funny story about One. Early Predator days, right, when, you know, obviously the team is far from, you know, competing for a Stanley Cup, but it's the fun bunch of cast-offs, expansion era, scrappy underdog, all that. But they, in the creating the buzz, they gave out the shakers one night. I don't know if you were at this game, Darren, or not, but they had, you know, they're like, it's like a little plastic thing. It's a shaker, but it, like, the hands clap together. You know, it just makes a kind of a clapping noise. Mm-hmm. And it's just annoying as all get out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they played the one guitar solo at the end, you know, and then everybody in the arena did the shaker to that. It made the craziest noise ever. And so, of course, the Predators are like, hey, we're on to something here. Let's do that again. For about a half a season, that, like, but everybody looked so much forward to it. Like, they wanted to time it perfect, right? The guitar riff with the shake. It was a thing. But don't pull that out for your little leaguers the first time. You know, let's work our way up to that.
Yeah, I just got a text from a buddy. No, that's a no. I'm not doing that song. No,
it's an AC/DC song.
And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
So I guess Slayer's out of the picture now, too.
Yeah, probably, okay. Yeah. And if you know AC/DC, you probably know the song. I'm saying no, 9-year-olds are not going to hear that. No. Then I'll definitely, that'll, you're talking about side stare. Yeah, that'll be. We'll probably have a team meeting.
Coach Lauren would be coming out.
There could be some AC/DC songs that would be okay.
Yes, yes, but not this one. This would.
Okay, I don't know which one you're saying, but I think there are some that are pretty widely known. Would be a good choice.
All right, we will have Jay Feely at 11:00. We'll learn a little bit more also about Tennessee's opponent, Kentucky, at 11:30. You just made the list. At 12, Greg McElroy at 12:30, Lee Sterling at 1, pick 6 right after Lee Sterling. As you can tell, we've got a loaded and packed show. We will come back and wrap up the first hour next. Titans have activated fullback Kari Blasingame from the reserve COVID list, so another body back in the fold. Guys, it's looking pretty good for getting everybody back for this game, for the most part, right? Obviously nowhere near the depletion that they had in Tuesday's contest against Buffalo. So I think the biggest concern for me right now sitting here looking at this game, and of course we'll have lots of questions surrounding this game on pick 6, is just the mentality, because it would be easy to say, oh, they've got everybody back now. You know, it's the Texans. They're 1-4. Hey, this should be a walk in the park. Well, if it was a walk in the park, the odds makers wouldn't have the line at 3.5.
Yes, they're down to 2 that are still on the COVID-19 list, the reserve COVID-19 list, Michael Pruitt and Corey Davis, a pair of players on the practice squad, tight end Tommy Hudson and defensive back Breon Borders. So that's that list, and we still have Adoree Jackson that is not back yet, correct? Will they be without him? So
yep.
Little by little, and I know Taylor Lewan, he might be dealing with this shoulder thing for a while here. I guess he could play through it, but that remains to be seen over the long haul. But I agree with you, Darren. That's what they have to avoid. That's the mental test this week, is quick turnaround, short week to prepare, avoid the complacency of, well, we got through the tough part. Now it should get easier. We're getting more people back. We should be fine. And we're not playing a 4-0 team. We're playing a 1-4 team. But Mike Vrabel had good perspective on it yesterday. He said, you know what? I don't care what the record is of the team you're playing. In this league, if you don't play well, you're going to lose. And even if you play well, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to win. So you just have to focus on playing well every week. But I agree. I think the mental part of this is a very different but still very difficult challenge of coming back and getting back into a regular Sunday routine.
Yeah, but having some of these guys back is certainly going to help. I mean, Corey Davis probably won't be one of them, but I think that that's as you look at the past 2 weeks and now look ahead, things are starting to the sun's starting to come back out for the Tennessee Titans.
Derrick Henry's longest run this season, he's known for his long runs, but right now through these four games, and this is going to be a pick six question, do you know what his longest run of the season is?
It's in the teens, I think, right? Or
I'll take a guess. 13?
Willie?
I haven't looked. I promise I haven't.
Low teens, I think. 14, I'll say.
So he had, in the Buffalo game, he had his longest run was 12 yards. In the Denver game, first game of the season, his longest run was 13 yards. In the Jacksonville game, his longest run was 14 yards. Are you getting the theme here? And then the longest run in the Minnesota game was 16. So 12, 13, 14, and 16. So his longest run of the year is 16 yards. How surprised are we that that's his longest yard when that's what he's known for? And, oh, by the way, they're a 4-0 team. You would expect in the fourth quarter of one of those games, right, that's when he does what he does to teams, right? He explodes for that 40, 50-yard run that just is the backbreaker, and that team just quits and says, we're done. On to the next week. Has it done it yet?
So that's
going to be one of our questions.
I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't surprised that he doesn't have one run that would be considered an explosive play, right? 20 or more yards, I think, is a thing, right? That's kind of where they put it in there. Now, what's the difference between a 19-yard run and a 20-yard run? It's 1 yard, but you have to have the line somewhere. He hasn't hit any home runs. And yet, he's third in the league in rushing yards, having played one less game than some players, than a lot of players, right? He also, this is important for me. Football Outsiders has a thing called success rate. In other words, third and one. You get one, you move the chains, that's a successful run, even though on that play you only average 1 yard per carry. On the goal line, for example, if you score a 2 yard touchdown run, it's only 2 yards, but that's as far as you can go. That's a successful run. And they have measures. Like, I think it's on first and 10, if you get 4 yards or more, that's considered a success. So Derrick Henry, his success rate is 57%. And that ranks 7th in the league. So he hasn't hit the home runs, but he's got a lot of singles and doubles. His batting average is good, right? He's getting the tough yards. Like even the other night when he had 57 yards, there was a short field a bunch of times. He had a number of what I would say successful runs, like the stiff arm run. That was a successful run. And, of course, he's drawing in all the attention of the defense, right? Everything else is opening up because of what he's doing. So I would say he's getting the tough yards. He's still on pace for a lot of yards. If they can just add that dimension of long ball, the home run, everything's going to fall into place.
What did Nick Saban say at the table with you guys, I believe it was last year at SEC Media Days, about Derrick Henry?
The more you give him the ball, the more successful he is.
Right. So, in comparison, you say his longest...
And they're giving him the ball. We know
they
that.
Are. They totally are. You say his longest run this year is 16?
And he's had 2 games over 100 yards rushing. You would think the way he runs in 2 games over 100 that there would be a longer run than 16 in there, you know?
Well, let me give you a comparison. Last year, first game of the season, you were there at Cleveland. His longest run was 18. The next week against Indy, the longest run, 18. Jacksonville, longest run, 11. Then 16. He didn't break 20 until Buffalo. Yeah,
and we weren't talking about him in those
games.
Right.
No.
That's the difference. We weren't talking about him at all.
Right. But my point is, he didn't get into breaking those long runs until later in the season. 24 against Buffalo on October 6th, and then it kind of went down again. 34 against Tampa, had the 68-yarder against Kansas City. I mean, now
so
later in the year.
The answer is he's a second-half player.
Yeah, and I think he's always been that.
He has been for sure. Mm-hmm. So I'm confident of that. And I would still say I would say he's far from struggling. He's getting the singles and doubles. He's running effectively, and it's opening up everything on the offense that you hope it would, because the offense has been a huge thumbs up as we've documented, right? That nobody would argue with that. So I just think it's a matter of time, and I think they have to make sure that they spell him enough to where you're not getting up into that 350 carry range. I think you have to be conscious of that.
So that's what we're about to find out in pick six. Is a matter of time this week, or is it later?
Well, the Texans have struggled against the run. It has not been as good as it has been before. I think this is a game where you very well could get it going. But we know teams have to come in. This is the effect of Derrick Henry. Whether you hold them to 75 yards or 110 or whatever, you go into the game saying, we cannot let this guy run for 170 where we don't have a chance. Our only chance is to keep him in check. And that makes
Corey. Don't forget what he did against them. Their last impression of Derrick Henry. Don't forget
ran
that
all
either.
Yeah.
Correct.
That was against their, they weren't trying to win.
But he set the NFL record on their watch, right? Rushing record.
He won the rushing title.
I'm sorry. I did not say that correctly. He won the rushing title on their watch.
Yes, he did.
Which that's probably not going to sit well with him. I don't know what they can do to prevent that, but I'm just saying, you know they're going to remember that.
No question.
He embarrassed them the last time they saw him.
And whether he did or not, every team has to come in with that mentality. And that immediately makes Ryan Tannehill better. It makes A.J. Brown better. It makes Jonnu Smith better. You know what I'm saying? There's just a ripple effect just by having him on the field, because he's still running the same way. I just think he's going to get his yards. And even if teams overplay and do make it tougher on him, which maybe they're doing to a degree, if the passing game ends up being one of the top, we just had that you broke down, Darren, the Tannehill and Mahomes stats. If that's the net result of holding Derrick Henry down in the home run category, I'll take that.
Yeah, and how much is it missing Jack Conklin? And Jack Conklin was a big part of run protection as well. So, I mean, I think it's just early, and you gotta give it a little time.
But he's second in the league in yards, right?
Third.
It's not like he's not third. He's 1 yard behind Josh Jacobs, who I think has played one more game, correct?
I don't know if the Raiders, probably. Yeah.
I don't think they've had a bye.
There haven't been really byes, unless it was COVID related, although I think the Packers were. Whoever had them this past weekend were the first buys, right?
Yeah.
Of the year.
All right, so it's not like he's not getting yards.
Jay Feely to kick off the second hour. That's next.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2 hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.